Greetings, everyone. We're very happy to be here with you again in Allentown. We'll consider the gospel together. The gospel is an exhortation of Christ. It's exalting his person and brings us back to where it all began. I want to read a couple of verses just to begin with, if you care to read along with me. First readings in Acts chapter 26 is for one verse. Closing words of verse 17, God speaking to Paul, he says, unto whom now ascend thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And another reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Spiritual darkness, blindness, is taken care of by Christ. Once I was blind, and now I see. In John chapter 9, they said, this blind man who received his sight never saw once in his life, and the Lord gave him his sight. And they said, well, tell us he's a sinner. And he said, well, he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see. And we can say that. We can see. We can sing these lovely choruses here with confidence. We believe the words we sang. We believe. Now, I want to talk. The gospel is throughout the gospels. All the healings the Lord Jesus Christ did. You wonder why. Why did he give us all the details of the healings? Is that the gospel would be preached from them. The gospel. That's the theme of the Bible, theme of the New Testament. Over and over again, Paul talked about his life. He was a gospel preacher to the Gentiles. So, sight is one aspect of salvation. There are many aspects of it. Lame, I can walk now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their ears, I can now hear the voice of God. I can hear him now. Tongues are unloosed. I can now talk to God. And now I can see. I can see him. I know him. So we'll look at this aspect of it. And the details are given for us for a reason. That we might preach the gospel. That's what this is all about, the gospel. So Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So the condition of this man Bartimaeus is the condition of everyone in this world right now, born into this world. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We don't know why we're here. Our lives have no purpose and no meaning to them. We don't know God. And we can't see spiritually. We can't see. Blind Bartimaeus. It's a picture of spiritual blindness, which we all have. John 12 and 35, He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Ephesians 5 and 8, he's writing to the Ephesians. They're Christians now, and he said, Ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness. We sing at the hymn, At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And we're considering the cross. The theme of the Bible is the cross. The gospel, what is the gospel? Paul said, I'll declare it unto you plainly. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I received of the Lord. Now that Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. Fifth word, sins. People need to understand that. If I never see myself as a guilty sinner in my sins, separated from God, and get convicted of them, I will never see my need of Him. Never. The work of the Holy Spirit in this world is to convict men and women of their sins. Only then can I see my need. I'll see, understand why He was on that cross. For my sins. My sins separate me from God. That's why I don't know Him. I can't pray. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible even. Not only was he blind, he needed a bath. He's a blind man, no social assistance back then. They begged. And he had a beggar's garment on him. That's what he cast away there. We'll talk about that in a minute. His father's name is mentioned. Sometimes names have meanings. And they shed light on this. They shed light on the gospel or another portion of scripture as well. What does Timaeus mean? Son of Timaeus. The only time we read that word, Timaeus. It means unclean, polluted. And he was an unclean man. He's sitting in the dust of the walls of Jericho. He needed a bath. And spirit, it pictures spiritual uncleanness. Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Isaiah 64 and 6, we are all an unclean thing. We are unclean people. in an unclean world. Isaiah could declare, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because of what he's saying. For mine eyes have seen the King, and people need to see him. Him. He's a theme of the Bible. Christ is the answer to everything in life. Everything is him. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All him. People need to see him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and was blind, but now I see. I had a t-shirt. I must have worn it 5 summers, kind of worn out now. But on the t-shirt, it says, I'm the wretch the song refers to. And the cashier's looking at me, looking down, looking at me, looking down. I say, do you know that song? And they sometimes do, sometimes don't. But whatever is the case, I quote the first stanza for the sake of her and those around me in that line there. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As a prelude to my giving her a gospel tract. To be cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful scripture is that. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, immediately cleanses me from all sin. Yesterday's sin, today's sin, and the ones that haven't even committed yet are under the blood. And the tense of that, cleanses, the tense of that is the basis of our fellowship with God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does that. Justly forgive us because of the blood. Verse 9 goes to verse 7. Cleansed. Spiritual uncleanness. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. No part with me. I was in Schenectady having meetings down there on one occasion. I think maybe a week of meetings. There were a lot of people out. People were coming in. And I was 10 minutes into the message, and a man came in the door. And he had a white shirt on and a tie, and he had a Bible in his hand. And I saw him come in, and right away in my mind, he must be a Christian. He's a Christian. White shirt, tie, Bible. Must be a Christian. So I didn't really think about him as I'm preaching the gospel to all these people there. After the meeting, I was talking to some people at the back, and somebody said to me, Wade, there's a young man here who wants to talk to you. I said, well, yes, who is he? Well, they said, that man. And it was this man, who I assumed was a Christian. We can't judge that. We can't judge. Carrying a Bible. Looks like a Christian. Talks like a Christian. But no, so I sat down beside him, and I said, do you want to talk to me? He said, yes. He started to cry. He said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. He wasn't a Christian at all. Didn't understand. So the Lord enabled me, and he used my words to him. I thank God for that. He opened his eyes of understanding. And he looked at me. He wiped his eyes. He said, you know what? I feel clean. I feel clean. He was cleansed and washed in that blood. And that's what we are as his people. We are cleansed and washed in the blood. Isaiah said, you know, when you're not saved, before you're saved, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores crown the head, the sole of the feet. And people do not know this. They don't know. And they need to hear. They need to hear this message of salvation. And are they seeking him? Yes, there are those seeking him. There are. I thank God for those people. I pray, Lord, bring them to me. He knows what everybody I see. I'm going to give them like John 3:16. I say, Lord, I don't know who's seeking you, but you do. So bring them my way. May our paths cross, that they might understand. To his condition. And he cried. He began to cry out. And he cried the more a great deal. And we learned something here about the people all around him. They could see. And they said, be quiet, Bob, be quiet. And that's a picture of people in this world, friends and family. They don't want you to talk about Jesus Christ. You tell them, I'm thinking about him, thinking about my sins, reading my Bible. They don't want to hear you talk that way. They don't. Because Jesus Christ was a damper on everything under the sun, everything. He doesn't fit in. That's one thing we learn from this portion of Scripture. Another thing we learn is that just cry, the word cry, is an inarticulate cry from fear. So we must ask ourselves a question. What was Bartimaeus afraid of? What did he fear? Well, he feared that he might not have another opportunity to be this close to Christ. They told him, he's passing through Jericho. He's not coming in. We know why Jesus Christ was there. He was there for Bartimaeus. He was there for that one man. And Jesus Christ loves one sinner, one. He does. He was there for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus realized, if I don't get to him today, I might never have my sight, never. So he's afraid of missing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he cried louder, more than a great deal he cried. But he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Many, many people do not understand when you're close to him, when you sense you're near him. He's calling you. They do believe in their minds, some people, I will have another opportunity. And so I can get saved whenever I feel like I want to get saved now. Now I want to get saved. God says, no. When you hear my voice calling to you, you're convicted now. I've convicted you. My Holy Spirit's done that. You come to me now. Come now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come now. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. It's now. And sometimes people plan. They know the gospel. They know it. And they're planning on getting saved. Someday. Not today. Someday. No. That's a great lesson here of Bartimaeus. Jesus Christ was passing by. He wasn't coming in. And he knew in his heart, this might be my only opportunity. He can't see him. He's blind. That's why he's crying like he is, out of fear. A man was standing on the Niagara River above the falls, Niagara Falls. He saw a very strange sight. It was February. An eagle was standing on top of floating down the river towards the falls on a sheep, dead carcass of a sheep. He's feeding on the sheep. And the man's watching this. He's getting closer to the falls. Every once in a while, the eagle would lift his proud head up, look at the falls, and like he's saying, I know what's ahead for me. I know the falls are there. But I shall depart from my sheep here long before I get there. But I'm going to wait until I feed some more on the sheep. He's getting closer and closer and closer. So the man's watching this. And then, as the falls approach the eagle, he decides now's the time. So he lifts his big wings and he starts flapping his big wings. But he didn't go anywhere because the cold waters of the Niagara River in February, lapping over his talons, throws them in the sheep's carcass. He couldn't lift up. He couldn't go. And over the falls he went screeching to his death. He thought he could go to safety whenever he pleased. When I'm ready, that's when I'll go. It's very solemn. If God speaks to hearts, calling you to come to Him now, that's the time to come. Don't take it for granted that He'll speak to you again. He may never speak to you again. It's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Now, He was called. His condition. Blind, needed the bath. And He cried. Now he's called. Jesus stood still. What a wonderful Savior we have. To see Jesus Christ going there for one man. That's why we only read of one man there. Later on, Zacchaeus came to Him as He's passing by. How He loves sinners. He loves one sinner. One sinner. And He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what's he concerned with down here? Saving souls. Saving souls. That's what it's all about. I will build My church. I will build My church. And He's still building His church. And He said, I want to use you. I want to use you, I want to use you. He could brighten the sky. Angels could proclaim it. But He said, no. I want to use you. He was called. He stood still, commanded Him to be called. And the disciples, they call the blind man, and speak clearly, call out, cry out loud and clear. Jesus Christ said to them, you make sure that man understands I'm standing still, just for him, just for him. Make sure he understands loud and clear. Get the message through to him. And that's the purpose of preaching the gospel. We seek to bring others to Christ. We are His spokesman. We are His spokesman. They were His spokesman. Jesus sent His disciples to Him. And He uses us today. A man got his cataracts removed in China by a missionary. For the first time he can see in a lot many years. So he left. 2 months later he comes back and he has a rope. And behind him on the rope there are 18 blind men. And he brought these blind men in to see the doctor that they too might receive their sight. And that's what the gospel's all about. I once was blind, and now I see. And I'm bringing these ones, trying to speak to them. Communicate to them. You may have your sight, you may know. Because people do not know where you're going. Nobody can say with confidence, I'm sure of heaven. Nobody. I've tested this many times. They can't. Because they know they're lying themselves. They know they're lying to God as well. They can't say it. Until I can see. My eyes are open now. Now I can see. I understand the Bible now. I can relate to the Bible now. And they will say, yes, I am now sure of heaven. I am sure of heaven now. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Be of good courage. Cheer up. He's calling you. The Master is come and call for thee, Martha said to Mary. Calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now he casted. He casted away, casting away his garment. This garment was a colored garment. So people walking there would see him. He's sitting down in the dust. He's begging. They would know the man's blind. And they could go around him. He can't see me. They know that. That's why he had this garment on. When he heard that message, rise, he calleth thee. You, Bartimaeus. He hears you, Bartimaeus. He believes now with all of his heart. He hasn't seen him yet. I'm going to receive my sight today. If he's calling me, I will receive my sight today. So casting away his garment before he can see, that's faith. That is faith. And by grace are we saved through faith. The only way we're saved is by faith in Christ, His work on the cross, and the Word of God. The promise of God is by faith, and by faith He cast away the garment. I'm not going to need that anymore. New life for me now. I believe. Today's my day. That's a requirement if anybody is going to be born into his family and saved, to have faith, total faith. 100% faith in Christ. He died for me. My sins were laid on Him. He loves me. I believe it. And if He says to me, you believe on me, trust me, him that believeth on me hath everlasting life, He said, that I believe it. I believe it, Lord. Faith is how we're saved. Casting away His garment. That's the old life. I'm not going to live that life anymore. I'm going to have a new life now. New life now. So by faith, hasn't seen Him yet, can't see yet, cast away His garment. Like the lady in John chapter 4, the Lord told her about that water. Liken to this, the world down here under the sun. All these things you partake of down here, trying to satisfy the thirst within. He said, you'll thirst again. You'll thirst again. But I have water. You drink the water I give you, and you'll never thirst. You come to me, you'll never hunger. You believe on me, never thirst. And she left her water pot. Same thing. She left her old life. That's the same picture here. Come as we are, be willing to do whatever the Lord requires of me. That's all. Paul's first words after he found Christ in the Emmaus Road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now he came. He leaped up. He rose. He leaped up now. He believes. He believed with all of his heart. I know what he heard about Jesus. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he's confident now. Today is the day I receive my sight. So he leaped up, came to Jesus, and people have to rise up out of the darkness of their sins and come to him for light and for life. Come unto me. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, true rest, I'll give it to you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, never, under any circumstances. There's a double negative here in the Greek. I will never, ever cast you out of my family when you come to me for salvation. You're mine forever and ever. Doesn't depend on me and what I do. Nothing. It all depends on Christ and what He did, the value and merit of the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of the Son of God. And so now He's cured. He's cured now. And He asked Him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what He wanted. He knew. So why did He ask Him that? Why? What's the lesson here for us? What's the lesson in the gospel? Tell him what you want. Tell him, Lord, I want to be saved. I want my sight. I want to be born to your family, Lord. I want the burden of my sin gone. I want deliverance from the power of sin in my life. I want to be a new man, new woman, woman of God, man of God, man of the book, man of prayer. That's what I want, Lord. I want salvation, Lord. He wants to hear that from people. The transaction takes place on your knees, on your knees. It's prayer, prayer. He hears prayer. Unbelievers can pray to him, and he hears it. He's got their full attention. They have their full attention. Tell him what you want. That's the lesson here with Bartimaeus. And then he said to him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee, the margin of my Bible says. That's the key that opens up the door to everything. Finally, I believe, I have my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately he received his sight. This is a picture of salvation. And all these details are here that the gospel might be preached with these points brought out. And it works. It works. The gospel, the power of the gospel is a dynamite of God. Blows down from the mind to the heart and opens eyes of understanding. It's the gospel. That's what people need to hear today. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And it just takes a moment of time. Mean business with God. Mean business with Him. You know, if you die today, you're going to hell. The rich man died, buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. In Jude, those people of Sodom and Gomorrah, how have they been there? How long have they been in Hades? And it says suffering the eternal vengeance of God. And that word suffering is in the present continuous tense. You can't get away from the truth of the Word of God. Is there judgment? Yes, there's judgment. They're still there, these people. That's what God thinks what's going on in this world right now. They pretty it all up, make it look really nice. God tells us the bottom line. The bottom line is abomination to Him. A man lying with a man. Abomination. And that's the bottom line. It all begins. Call it what it is. By faith. He can't see Jesus Christ. He can't see Him yet. There was a fire in Ontario one time, dug in the Greenfield house. Wooden house. They all got out in time. Wooden structure. I think he had 11 children. And they realized 11-year-old Douglas had ran back in the house for a toy he thought he needed to get in his bedroom upstairs. When Mr. Greenfield noticed he's gone, he can't get into him now because the staircase is all on fire. This is a true story. He looks up in the window and there's Douglas in the window. And the smoke's all billowing up. And he sees the flames behind him in his bedroom. He said, "Douglas, jump. I'm right under your window. It's your daddy. Douglas, jump into my arms and I'll catch you." And Douglas says, "I can't see you, Daddy. All the smoke, I can't see you." Mr. Greenfield said, "Douglas, I can see you. I can see you. Now you jump now. Jump now. Not much time, jump." So the boy put his faith in his father. He trusted his father. And he jumped into the arms that he couldn't see. That's faith, that's salvation there. I can't see him, but I believe him. Come to me and I'll save you. I'll save your soul right now. And he does, he will. I can't see him yet. But I will. So now the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "Go thy way. You have your sight now, Bartimaeus, and I knew you'd receive it today. You're the reason I came. You're the man I came for. Nobody else here called for me. Nobody. But you did, and I knew you would. I knew you would, Bartimaeus. That's why I stood still when I heard your cry. Oh, happy day for Bartimaeus." So he said to him, "Go thy way." But what did Bartimaeus do now? He followed Jesus in the way. What a lovely ending is this to that now. You can go your way now, Bartimaeus. You can finally see. He said, "No, I want to follow you in the way." He was captivated by Him. He was captivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to us when we got saved? Was it not the very same thing? Let's remember. Get back there. Focused on Him. My life. My prayer closet with Him. cultivate that life with him, captivated by him. And Bartimaeus was. I am the light of the world, he said. You follow with me, you'll not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. You won't be the same man anymore. People on the other side of salvation, they hear these words, and they say, well, I don't know about that. Captivated by him, I don't even know him. But when you know him, you will be captivated by him. For me to live is Christ. My life is Christ. When I awake, I'm still with thee, Lord. Yes, doctrine, so on, but the bottom line is him. It's him. Our lives are him. Him. Family in New York, they had a daughter named Carol, 12 years old. She was born blind. They had her many doctors. Nobody could give her sight. They spent all their money. And they heard of a doctor. Now, this is a true story from Switzerland. And he had some new method of operations for eyes. And maybe he could help, they thought. So they got an appointment with him. They were able to see him. And he examined Carol. And he said, well, you know, I can't promise anything, but maybe, I can restore her sight. And they said, doctor, we don't have any money to pay you. He looked at Carol. He said, that's all right. I'll do the operation anyway. So we did. And the day came in the room. And they're removing the bandages from Carol. Lights are down, lit dim. She's never seen her parents before. And the bandages come off. And her eyes are adjusting. And now she can see. She can see. She can see her mother and her father for the very first time. And then she saw the doctor. And she was captivated by him. Because she knew what went on. This man, this is the man that gave me my sight. She was captivated by him. She had one toy, a teddy bear. And it went with her everywhere she went. Went to bed with her everywhere she goes, a teddy bear. She'd never seen it before. So now she picks up the teddy bear and looks at it. For the first time she sees it. Oh, she loved that teddy bear. She said, doctor, here, I want you to have my teddy bear. He's all that I have, but I want you to have my teddy bear. He took the teddy bear, put it on his mantle, and all came in the house. He showed them. This was from a little girl, 12 years old, who gave me all that she had. All that she had, she gave to me, captivated by him. Does he not want from us all that we have? All that I have, Lord, all that I have, my life, Lord, for thee, I give to thee my whole life. One life will soon be passed. All is going to be gone. We're going to be there to see him. We won't regret one thing we sacrificed in this world down here, to be close to him, be near him. Have the prayer closet. Cultivate that. Alone with him. Pour your heart to him. Pour it out to him. Pray to him. Pray through the Psalms. Pray through David's Psalms. Make them my psalm now, Lord, my psalm now. That's how we learn to pray. That's how we learn to know him. We know him now. Give him all that I have, Lord. I want to give you all that I have. Salvation. That's what life's all about. Salvation. When we walk around and we see people and cashiers and so on, don't look through them. Jesus beholding him in Mark 10 earlier, the man who's going to reject him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Beholding him as he saw this man in the light of eternity. Jesus knew the end from the beginning. Beginning from the end. And he loved him. So why don't I love them? Why do I love them enough to say, hey, listen, do you know God loves you? God loves you. And I leave you something to read from the Bible. He loves you. Die for your sins on the cross. Your sins. Mention the word sins. They'll take it. I'll tell you right now, they'll take it. And if they're searching for God, they'll find it. They'll find him. They'll find him in this gospel tract. But I wonder how many of us do. How can I just say thanks for my receipt? Thank you for my receipt and my change. You have a nice day now. And that woman's crying herself to sleep at night. Her marriage is falling apart. Her life's going all astray. Sorrow, pain, their life. They don't know why they're here. Where am I going? They don't know anything. And we have the truth right here. Here it is. He loves you. He loves you so. And I tell you something right now. Put me to the test. They'll take it. When you say this from the Word of God, God's love for you, their hand will go up and they'll take it. And they'll say, thank you. They will thank you. And who knows who's going to come to Christ? Was she seeking him? Answer to my prayer. Lord, those seeking thee, bring them to me. That's what he's doing down here. I will finish his work, he said in John chapter 4. Then what did he say to his disciples? He said, my meat's to do the will of him that sent thee. Who brought him any meat? He said, and to finish his work. He said, lift up your eyes now, my disciples. What'd they see? The woman in the city, she spoke to the men, okay, come see a man. And they came. A good number of those men came. What did the disciples see? Lift up your eyes. And the harvest. Allentown, the harvest. Harvest. They're there. They're white for harvest. Be optimistic. White, that word white is like glistening white. They're Christians. See them as Christians. Jesus Christ loves them all. He died for them. Lift up your eyes, he says, and see them. That's why I came. I came to die on the cross for sinners. I'm building my church. Everything else we enjoy in the assembly and so on, my Bible reading and so on, but don't forget the main purpose of my life is to win souls for Christ, to tell them they need to be saved, born again. And he's seeking. He is seeking men and women like he said Bartimaeus. 2 weeks, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I go home to house every afternoon. In driveway. 30,000 people around St. Stephen. Modest people. The common people heard them gladly. Yep. I knock on the doors. That's the only way. How can you reach every creature? You knock on the doors. The only way you can do it. So I do. And I want them to know that I'm here because I love you. I want them to know that. The only reason I'm here is because I care for you with God's love. And He sent me here today for you. And I speak kindly, gently, softly. But I give them the gospel. So about 3 weeks ago, I'm going house to house. For 4 hours, I go house to house, knocking on doors. And that's my work. I'm an evangelist. That's my work. I know that. My work. Woe is me if I don't. Woe is Wade LeBlanc if I don't do that. And I love doing it. Nothing like it. Just get out there. Your whole life just lifts up your life. Everything comes into perspective now. This is what my life's all about. Leading others to Christ. So I knock on this door. And he opened the door and he said, I could hit a small white car, like my white car. He said, I thought my car was moving. Somebody's taking my car. And I see you get out of your car. That's keys in his hand. I'm on my way out the door. I'm on my way out to get my oil changed. I said, I'm not going to hold you up. I'm not going to keep you. I said, I got gospel literature here. I'm going to leave it on the counter. He said, well, I got a few minutes. So I started talking to him a little bit about the gospel. Then I realized, well, I'm talking too much. I said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go. And he said to me, he had cancer. He got to the hospital 5 days ago. Showed me a feeding tube on his stomach, cancer stomach. God had been dealing with this man. He's been preparing this man. No small thing when somebody saved. Few there be to find it. Few. This was his salvation's day. His day was this day. Divine appointment. I'm going house to house to house. I don't know. Talking to people. And then I said, well, you have an appointment. Put his keys down. He said, listen, you keep talking and take your time. And I knew in my heart then that this was one seeking him and this was his salvation's day. And it was. And 10 minutes later, he's got tears. He's rejoicing, and he's rejoicing in Christ. Asked about his sins. Where are your sins? He didn't really know what to say about that one. I said, hey, if God asked me that question, where are my sins? I don't have any sins. I don't have any sins. They're gone. Jesus Christ took all my sins away. They're gone. Washed in the blood. And I could see God opening his eyes of understanding. And he saw it, and the big smile on his face. He was born again, saved, right from my very eyes. And they're all over the place. God said, go find them. Go find them for me. Now my life has real purpose and meaning, and that, yes, there's no joy like that joy. I'm in the car crying when I left his house. And they're rejoicing in heaven. What rejoices heaven anyway? One sinner repents. All heaven rejoices. That's what one soul means to Jesus Christ. One soul. May God bless you. Thank you for having me here. Thank you. The gospel. And may I stir you up a little bit. Look, to see, behold them. Don't look through them, behold them. And take the time. And they'll say, you know what they'll say to you? Thank you. Thank you very much. And they'll read that. And who knows? They'll pray, Father in heaven, we give thanks and praise unto thee for these wonderful accounts, Father God, in the Gospels of your healings, Father, Lord. And we know they're pictures of salvation, Father, and we are to use these accounts to preach the gospel, Father. So bless the word, Father, went forth this morning to us. And may we rejoice in what we have, Father, and never forget where it all came from, Father. Our lives was Calvary. The lifting up of your Son, Father, was all about. Hated was he, the hatred he, on that day, Father, we marvel, we read that, Father God, how they hated him. And he meekly and gently received it all silently, that suffering, because he loves, Father, God is love, how he loves sinners, Father. So we thank you, Father, the door still open wide, and sinners may come. So, Father, use us, I pray. Use us, Father, that we might behold them as they're beheld by Thee, Lord Jesus Christ. And be bold to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we thank you for this morning, Father. We give Thee our thanksgiving in the name, worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much for listening.